Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I'm an intuitive psychotherapist as well as licensed clinical social worker, and I'd like to connect with you. Please reach out to me through my website. It is nolatherapy.com, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy. I'm available to take new clients if you're looking for someone to work with as an intuitive practitioner to guide you through transitions you might be facing in your life. I invite you to join my email list at nolatherapy.com. And I want to really thank you right now as my listener. Today's my 3-year anniversary show, and I've been consistent to bring you a guest each week who I believe is enhancing our world in the genre of mind, body, and spirit. The theme of my show is changing consciousness, one conversation at a time. And I'm really grateful that you have supported me as my audience. And I invite you to continue to share this podcast with people who you believe may be interested and support my work through your rating and subscriptions on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and everywhere podcasts are found. And I also invite you to follow me on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, under Nola Therapy, and Twitter as Tahir LCSW. And as a thank you, Audible is one of my sponsors. If you love audiobooks as I do, they offer you a free audiobook download and a free month subscription. You can check that out by going to audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy. And again, just my heartfelt thanks for encouraging me through your emails. I've been receiving of late some wonderful, positive emails. Those of you that enjoy who I bring you as a guest, and that the latest feedback has been that this 45 minutes is a really powerful, uplifting, and encouraging time. And that means the world to me. So thank you for that support. My guest today has enriched my life both personally and professionally. She is my sagacious mentor and friend who is dedicated to helping people evolve their patterns in love. She's called a love illusionary. And today we are going to have Catherine Woodward Thomas with us in just a few moments. She is the New York Times bestselling author of both Calling in the One, 7 Weeks to Attract the Love of Your Life, and Conscious Uncoupling, 5 Steps to Living Happily Ever After. This is an abbreviated list of where she has been featured, places, networks, and media such as CNN, Time, The Today Show, People Magazine, ABC, The Washington Post, The London Times, and BBC News. Today, we're going to be discussing her work, including her upcoming 6-week Conscious Uncoupling guided course. This course starts just Monday, March 4th, around the corner. And some of the things that I like about what she's teaching is how you can use a breakup to regain your stability, how you can understand the underlying consciousness of your learned patterns in love. Her seminar is going to teach you about healing your source fractures, how to transform your core beliefs, and setting an intention for yourself, and then to begin to move in that direction with Catherine's guidance and support. So, Catherine, I'm delighted to have you on. Welcome.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Catherine. I'm delighted to share it with you.
Isn't that nice? I get to be here on such a special day.
You were my anniversary guest last year as well, as on my 2-year anniversary.
I know, I remember. That's amazing. Okay, well, we have a date for next year.
We do. We have a date for next year.
This is becoming a thing.
It is. So where do you want to begin in leading us in this discussion with a relationship and
all
your work?
First of all, thanks for telling everyone that I have this Conscious Uncoupling course starting on Monday. There's a few things I just want to share with people. The conversation that I want to have, that we want to share with people today, is not just if you're in the midst of a breakup. Mm-hmm. I think that we're all, to some degree, left with residue from old relationships that didn't quite work out. Maybe it was a traumatic breakup. Maybe it was just a deep disappointment in love that, you know, kind of is lingering in some way, where you're making yourself wrong, or you're making the other person wrong, or you're kind of wishing it had worked out, and that's hindering your capacity to really be open to new love. So really what conscious uncoupling is a pathway to becoming whole again, to being at peace with anyone that you've ever had a relationship with that ended in a way that left you incomplete. And in a way that sets you up to actually grow through that experience and be more enhanced in your capacity to love and be loved moving forward in life. So wherever anybody is, whether you're in the midst of a breakup, you're kind of struggling with pain from a breakup that happened a while ago, or maybe you're in a relationship and you'd like to break up, or you think the other person might be thinking about breaking up. And if that did happen, you would want it to go well. Because I think we all kind of have an ideal. Certainly everyone here is a conscious, caring person. We have ideals about not doing damage, not messing our kids up, not hurting the one who's hurting us, you know, not kind of giving into those revenge fantasies. Mm-hmm. And we're all here to grow and to learn and to be the best people that we can be. So that's really what the offering of Conscious Uncoupling is. Most people here heard it through Gwyneth Paltrow, who I was the one who inspired Gwyneth. She popped it into the lexicon and I think created a whole new possibility for how we might do this better on a public level. I'm very grateful to her for doing that. But really the program is not just for people who, you know, the two of them are breaking up in a very conscious way, and it was probably going to go well anyway. Really, conscious uncoupling is created for anyone who's struggling with a broken heart, because I think breakups are one of the most traumatic things we'll ever have to go through. So I just wanted to give that context for any of our listeners today about how they might get value out of the conversation.
As you're talking, Catherine, I'm thinking of what a powerful transition point a breakup is. And love that we once shared with someone transitioning into not being there anymore, and how we can so lose our stability and focus and grounding and become someone in our behaviors and thoughts that might even shock and surprise us. And we might even not want to be that person, yet we're so thrown by our emotions and not knowing how to contain them. Can you speak to that and how that dynamic is?
Well, yes, there's two things that we're working with. Well, three things right off the top of my head. First of all, our biology. Like, nature has really designed us to stay bonded. And you begin to see it in the subtle things that happen in our brain chemistry when we're leaving a primary attachment figure, you know, which is our little therapist language, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, you're losing a primary connection, a primary relationship that's really been a relational home. And what happens are things like when someone rejects us, instead of our brains kind of doing the normal thing that we would hope they would do, which is, you know, lessen our desire for the person who's rejecting us, that makes sense. What our brains does is it actually secretes hormones that increase desire. So why would that happen? Well, our desire is increasing for the person who's walking away from us, because nature has designed us to run after that person, mm-hmm. to try and get them to change their mind. Or even the way that we kind of go into fight or flight, we go into attack mode. You know, if someone rejects us, it literally lights up the parts of our brain that is the same as where our life is being threatened. Mm-hmm. So we go into fight or flight. We want to create a negative bond with that person now. We're going to start hating the person who once we loved. But hatred is a very, very deep bond with someone. If you're hating someone, you're thinking about them all the time, you're preoccupied, you're just as connected as when you love someone. So that's like nature's little trick. Nature will substitute a positive bond for a negative bond. In nature's world, it's better than no bond at all. So when we're talking about, you know, the way that nature has designed us, you know, when we look back 1,000 years ago, it begins to make sense, because if you wandered away from your tribe, you probably were going to die. That probably was a life-threatening thing. Our world is not like that now. If we lose a primary relationship, you know, we're not going to die from that experience. We have a lot of options. We have a lot of support structures. We're mobile people. So the world we live in is not reflective of what's happening in our biology. It's like nature hasn't caught up with our culture.
Exactly.
The other thing that's right.
Yes.
So just to know that, you know, when you go, you know, into these revenge fantasies, you go into, you know, all of these big overwhelming emotions. The other factor is that we're losing a relationship that has been regulating us, because our relationships actually serve to regulate our emotions. And for those of you who are not, you know, hip to the psychological term regulate, what that means is that we balance each other. We feel calm. And it's that phenomenon of, you know, the person who's hurting you the most, you know, on a logical level, that would be the person you'd want to get away from. But the, again, from this biological perspective, we just want to hear their voice. The moment we hear their voice, our whole body calms down.
Feel soothed.
That's because we're soothed, right? We're regulating each other. So that's a phenomenon of, you know, we get addicted to each other. I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just how we're made. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand this, that when we go through a breakup, that, you know, that soulmate to soul hate, that devaluing thing that he was, you know, I never liked him anyway, from your friends, you know, all of those things are really kind of inside of what happens to us from a biological perspective. The other thing is that 400 years ago, a gentleman in Venice, Italy, of all places, launched something called a fairy tale. And he launched that fairy tale at a time when people lived longer than 40 years of age. For the most part, the lifespan was less than 40 years of age. And there were things that were happening on a cultural level, such as if you were born into poverty, you were locked into that class for the rest of your life, predictably. You would never escape poverty. And if you notice at the end of fairy tales, they always ended with someone who was poor, you know, coming into great wealth.
Yes.
That the relationship that they found was about love, yes, but it was also about rescuing from poverty and social upwardability and kind of the happy ending on all levels. And at the time that fairy tales were born, what was happening in the culture is that there was actually a law on the books that forbid a noble person to marry a commoner.
Interesting.
So, you know, when we look at these, but the thing about Happily Ever After, you even said it in the title. The title of the book is actually Conscious Uncoupling, The 5 Steps to Living Happily Even After.
Did I have a Freudian
Most
slip?
People, yeah, you had a little Freudian slip.
Wow,
that's
right. Okay.
We all
so
want Happily Ever After.
It's so
Tell
in the consciousness.
After.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. It's so in our consciousness.
Well, we all, and what we need to know about it is it's the standard that we hold ourselves and each other accountable to. How long did that relationship last as a measure of was it real, was it valuable? And the moment, you know, if a relationship ends and one or both people die, we assume that relationship to be a failure, mm-hmm. and we feel shame about that. But here's the thing. In our culture, fast forward 400 years, very few of us are going to just meet one person, mate with that person, and be married to them for the rest of our lives. That's not how it goes in common culture. And indeed, statistics show that most of us will have 2 to 3 significant relationships in our lifetime. That's just the new norm. But inside of that myth, we've never actually learned how to consciously separate in a way that leaves everybody involved whole and complete and not broken, shattered, damaged, limited moving forward. We just don't know how to do that. The third thing is that our legal system, for those people who have actually made their love affair legal by getting married, our legal system will promote war. And actually, divorce in America is a $50 billion a year industry.
Wow.
A lot of people making a lot of money. And it's in the best interests of many attorneys to keep the process going. Now, I say that, the key word is many, not all, because there's a lot of conscious attorneys out there who are actually hip to this. They're learning to be mediators. They've set up mediation practices. I was just on the phone this morning with a wonderful woman, Michelle Crosby, who founded WeVorce, who's making conscious, non-contentious divorce possible for people at a very low price. So there's very good attorneys out there who are working against this, but there is a system in place, and not all attorneys are equal, because many attorneys, think very nothing of kind of using the hot emotions, the deregulated emotions, the fear, the big anger, the big desire for revenge to, kind of milk it for what it's worth. And people go through their children's college funds, and they go through their retirement accounts, and they lose the house and all the stuff, hundreds of thousands of dollars very often, when people don't actually take the time to do this process that I've laid out, or, some way of reflecting where you can be at peace with what happened, and you're not going to get your own big emotions involved in sorting through your assets. That's a very dangerous place for people to be.
It is.
So these are things that are working against us having a conscious uncoupling, which is why it's not just an idea, like amicable divorce. I mean, we all would aspire to an amicable separation, an amicable ending. Let's just be, let's move into friendship. But very few of us can do it, because there's things that are working against our ability to do that. So what conscious uncoupling is my offering to take that step by step and really allow us to do this in a way that's going to create conscious closure, that's going to allow us to shift the form of the relationship from lovers to friends, or lovers to co-parents, or lovers to, I prefer to not be connected with you, but I'm at peace with you.
Yes.
I'm not thinking of you 2 years later driving down the freeway telling you off.
Right. One of the thoughts I'm having, Catherine, is going through a breakup, how the emotions are so powerful, and particularly when there's a sense of disappointment and the self-blame and judgment we might be engaging towards ourselves and our former partner, and how you help people to contain the raw emotion, and how a breakup, how love brings up old patterns that I know you call the source fracture. It really exposes those gaps in our development, and love that we didn't get, that we needed when we were younger, and how that's played out now. And so I think before we can even begin to take responsibility for our part of what we have co-created, just how to help people to self-soothe. Because I know for me, that's been as we may know with our brain, that all of these things, how to help soothe the body and the reactions, the somatic reactions that are coming up within.
Well, we have to get a handle on the hot emotions, and you're absolutely spot on to begin there, because that's where most of us are. And what's at stake really is quite a lot, because, at the same time that we're having all these out of control emotions, very often we're making key decisions about where we're living and how we're dividing assets, or if there's children involved, what the custody arrangements are for those children. Very, very, very big decisions are happening at the worst possible moment, because we're deregulated, we're flooded with fight or flight hormones, we're going from a positive bond to a negative bond, all of that stuff is happening. So the first three steps of conscious uncoupling are all this inner work, before we start sorting through assets. And the first one, of course, is finding emotional freedom, and how do we talk ourselves off the ledge, because whatever action we take or whatever choice we make, we will really be living with the consequences of those for many years to come, as will our children, if we have them.
Yes.
And I think sometimes we're overestimating the capacity of children to be resilient because they don't necessarily talk about their feelings and they kind of adapt to whatever's happening. But even if we manage to have a conversation, we manage to create two homes, we manage to not fight when we're passing children back and forth from one home to another, you know, that's even not the ideal, because children are kind of energy sponges. Mm-hmm. And if there's unresolved business between you and your former partner, they're feeling it. And we think, you know, studies show that it's not just the divorce that damages children. We have this way of oversimplifying it. Divorce is bad for kids. Let's stay together for the sake of the kids. Now, what damages children, and study after study after study has shown this, is two parents either at an overt war or even a covert cold war with each other. The division, the lack of cohesion between the parents, the unfinished business that's festering in the field, the subtle ways that we'll pull on children to, you know, take sides.
Exactly.
So I'm a big advocate for the grown-ups doing the grown-up work. And I think we all want to do that. We just haven't known, again, how to do this. So we're starting with self-soothing, because that's where we are, is that for the most part we're a little overwhelmed, mm-hmm, emotionally and in a state of imbalance and reactivity. And so one of the things that I just encourage people to do is to rather than act on the big emotions, to press the pause button, take a deep breath, and just even the simple act of asking yourself, just saying your name, saying, "Catherine, sweetheart, what are you feeling right now?" And checking in and seeing if you can give a name to your feeling, because that all of a sudden, language is a container. The moment you put language to a feeling, it begins to diminish in its intensity. It begins to calm down. So you're going to say something like, I feel absolutely enraged. You're going to really find the right word for that particular feeling. And then what you're going to do is mirror it back to yourself. "Honey, I can see how enraged you are." And then I take people through a little process where we go even deeper. And I help people to see, you know, what's waking up in that rage. In that particular feeling, what's waking up? Well, if you're looking at rage, for example, what's waking up is the reclamation of your right to be treated properly.
Yes.
To be treated with respect, to be considered, to be taken care of, to be honored. Right? And usually, if you're feeling a sense of indignation or rage at someone, it's because they've behaved badly, and this is probably not the first time they behave badly. Maybe you've been settling for less or tolerating a lot of bad behavior, and this is an opportunity to transform those very negative emotions that you're having into the force for positive change by saying, "You know what, this is my bottom. I'm going to take the energy of that rage and I'm going to point it in the direction of my own transformation. I declare this as my bottom. I will never again be with someone who's diminishing of me. I will never again overgive to try and prove my value. I will never again have martyr myself for the feelings and needs of others, ignore my own feelings and needs. I will never again diminish my standards." Right? "I will never settle for less."
Yes.
And from today forward, this is how this is going to go. So it becomes this force, this catalyst for your own awakening, right?
And it's so important to inquire of those powerful emotions. What is underneath this? What is this awakening within me? Because often it really is the cracking of the egg of how we haven't shown up for ourselves consistently, allowed someone else to run the show, where we might have quieted our voice, not spoken up about our desires. And it's so powerful to start to go from that even feeling victimized to then feeling some anger and then asking more deeply, what is this anger saying to me about myself? And then realizing a pattern of where we can totally take ownership, change. And the deeper part is learning where those patterns came from. Certainly, these are patterns that were established in our upbringing that we've just fallen into unconsciously. So I think it's so important. It is the pivotal moment where the old story transforms, where we start to step into a new way of showing up for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what thwarts that, what stops that awakening process, because you touched on it before. And that is when we go into self-blame and shame. Mm-hmm. And it's such a common place to go. Why did I say that? Why did I not do that? He was asking me for that. Why didn't I see that? What is wrong with me? We go into a very deep shaming place. The other place it will go is, of course, blaming the other person. So we're either victimized by the other person, or we're kind of victimized by ourselves. Yes. And our own consciousness that we formed in childhood and our own wounds. But that kind of shaming, blaming way of processing the relationship is not going to deliver this kind of transformation that really needs to happen, because shame literally stops growth. Mm-hmm. Shame stunts our growth. We do not grow. And you know how I think of it? It's like we all know, if you say to, let's say your 14-year-old kid starts to gain weight, if you shame your kid, they're probably going to develop an eating disorder, right? If you look yes. at them and say, oh my God, you're getting so fat, you can predict that they're going to end up gaining more weight. Absolutely. Like, we know that. you can see it there, but we still reserve the right to talk to ourselves that way, as though that's going to foster growth. It's not. We get stuck in it.
Yes.
So the people who are stuck, people write me a lot and say, I've been, thinking about them and ruminating, assessing for 6 months. I know I don't want to be with them, but I can't move forward. I feel really stuck. I can pretty much guarantee you that the conversation that they're in internally and the way that they're trying to process the breakup is very shaming. They're either blaming the other person or they're blaming themselves. So step two, actually, of conscious uncoupling, reclaim your power in your life, is about doing that inventory on the relationship, but, really looking at your part in how this happened in a way that's going to foster growth. Mm-hmm. So for some it's hard because they've been treated badly, someone cheated on them, someone stole all the money, someone, took all their friends or lied about them, like really egregious thing. People behave very, very badly at yes. the end of relationships. Go back to step one to see why, right? So they're in attack mode. And so people do all sorts of egregious things. There's one of my favorite Japanese sayings is, you never know your wife until you divorce her. Mm. Because these kind of, they really, breakups are a litmus test for character. So if people are stuck with the horror and the shock of how badly the other person behaved, usually it's for good reason. So I never, when we say, how are you responsible, it's never to take anything away from that. So we always want to validate, that's really horrible and that feels horrible. And we're hardwired for fairness, so now it's ours to deal with in a way that's going to be challenging. Forgiveness is not the first place we go. Forgiveness is actually the byproduct of something well processed. Then forgiveness kind of organically happens. So I always say to people, look, even if it was 97% the other person's fault, what's your 3%.
Yes.
Because that's where you get your life. Because there's always something we did where we compromised our own integrity. Really.
I think something we did or didn't do, and that
right.
is our contribution to what has been co-created, where we're in disappointment and loss and in the grief process.
And it's often covert. Mm-hmm. So you have to really look for it. Like, I didn't speak up for myself.
Yeah.
Or I didn't pay attention to the red flag.
And in a way that now we can do it differently, which is the hope and the healing, is, wow, now that I'm looking at this, I can choose differently for myself forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we call the amends. So the moment you say, oh my gosh, I knew it, and I just dismissed my own knowing. I knew it from the first or second date. You know, a lot of the people are processing like a 10-year relationship with a narcissistic person. I ask them, what happened on the second date that they skipped over? And it's always because what we're looking to open up for people when we talk about this amends process, like what's the amends you're going to make moving forward? What's the lesson learned? Bitter pill swallowed. Life lessons are costly. What are you never going to do again? What are you always going to do from this moment forward? That's the amends. And you can begin it right now with the people in your life. You begin it with your sister and with your boss and with your best friend. You finally speak up. You finally ask the questions. You finally set a boundary.
Yes.
Right? And for some of us, it's kind of missing development. Like, well, I don't even really know what healthy boundaries are. Well, guess what? You learned how to drive a car at one point. And I bet if your life depended on it, you could learn how to speak Chinese.
Yes.
So in a way, your life kind of does depend on it. And it's time to learn what healthy boundaries are. Time to go and buy a book. Time to listen to Lisa's podcast
on healthy boundaries. Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of people teaching healthy boundaries. Guess what? Time is up on the old way of being. You can never afford this again. You've been shattered now. This is the consequence of not having good boundaries. You're not going to be able to get away with it again. But you're a good learner. There's not enough talk about, you know, adult development. I went to graduate school. I want to ask you if this is like this for you. When I was in graduate school to become a therapist, out of all of my years of training, I had one 10-week class on adult development.
Oh,
isn't that
so
crazy?
Yes. I had.
It's all about adult development.
It is.
I had
two classes.
Sorry.
However, it kept going back to childhood patterns and nothing about how to show up for oneself, how to speak from your place of intuition and your gut knowing. And I've had to educate myself as an adult woman on how to do that and feel like I'm just getting a handle of it at 47. So, yeah, it wasn't in the curriculum.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people who are not growth-oriented like everyone here, they're kind of stuck with their patterns and their ways of compensating for wounds in childhood. So that looks like certain defenses or certain limitations. But those of us here, you know, the playing field is pretty open. So to really begin to think more developmentally when we come up against our own limitations. And so that amends process in step two is going to identify the areas of growth that you need to really take on and prioritize in your life to make sure that this doesn't ever happen again and you can trust yourself to love moving forward. Because, you know, all breakups are crossroads, and really, many go on to live a lesser life in the aftermath of having their heart broken. And so you have to choose to grow yourself into a new version of you, a new up-leveled version of you, a person who is now more equipped to love and be loved moving forward as a result of the choices that you've now made to grow yourself healthy and strong.
Yes, Catherine. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back.
Indeed, listening is the new reading. With Audible, you can listen to an unlimited amount of books at home, in your car, at the gym, anywhere on the go. With over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from. For you, the listener of all things therapy, Audible is offering you a free audiobook download and a month-long subscription for you to try them out. Visit audibletrial.com/allthingstherapy now. And enjoy.
Do you want to help yourself and friends find a purpose in life?
Then you are in the right place and be a part of the crowdfunding campaign of patreon.com/allthingstherapy with Lisa Tahir as she initiates a one-on-one interaction with inspiring authors, healing experts, and spiritual directors.
Join the League of Heroes of this generation by contributing your quota between $1 up to $100 per month
at patreon.com/allthingstherapy. And let's make the world free of suicide, poverty, depression, and in all, make the world a better place for everyone.
Welcome back to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir, and I am with Catherine Woodward Thomas. Catherine, when you were just talking about this pivotal point and transitioning from once we contain our emotions following a breakup, we start to establish some clarity, some predictability in our lives, and we're going through our grief process and all the emotions that are associated with that, and we start to transition into a place of taking our power back. What role do you see self-forgiveness as playing in this process as you work with people?
Okay. Well, so self-forgiveness actually comes in step four.
Okay.
Just in the way that I've laid it out.
Yeah, keep going.
But I do think that there's an organic self-forgiveness that begins to happen when you begin making amends to yourself. Because here's the thing about self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness requires new actions.
It does.
It actually requires that we begin to show up in these new ways that have been outside of who we've known ourselves to be or outside of everything, anything we've ever said or done before, but that is the right, where we're doing right by ourselves. We're actually living more in integrity with ourselves. So, you know, just sitting on your meditation cushion and saying, you know, prayers for self-forgiveness or just kind of, you know, trying to get there, it is not going to really deliver you all the way. What creates self-forgiveness and really completion of the egregious errors that you've made in the past is a commitment that's kind of on the court of your life where you're showing up differently, you're setting boundaries, you're speaking up, you're saying the thing that's the hardest to say, not choosing the toxic connection, or you're speaking up in a way that creates more health in the toxic connection. You really have to take action.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. So I think then organically where we're going is the moment you start to identify how you are the source of something, really what you're looking at are ways that you have been compensating for very core wounds. So, for example, if you have a deep belief that you're not good enough, you might have been overgiving to try and prove your value mm-hmm. in the relationship in a way that trained somebody to be pretty self-absorbed, to not give back. There was a lack of mutuality. You got depleted. Basically, the other person, you know, really didn't have respect for you. Like, that's what that generated. But it was really a compensation for a core belief that you're not good enough. So this kind of leads us right into step three around breaking the pattern and healing your heart. And that really is, as you were saying, deconstructing these beliefs and the meaning that we're making of the breakup. You can pretty much know what your core belief is in love by knowing, recognizing the meaning that you make of the breakup. I am.
Yes.
Usually it's some version, I'm not good enough, or I'm always going to be alone. No one will ever show up for me. Or I'm not wanted. Like, they're really kind of, you know, and they're the background themes. And so we track them back to childhood. We call it your source fracture wound, the original break in your heart. And truthfully, we deal with that at that level. We clear it because none of it's true. Mm-hmm. It was all a story you made up when you were just a little kid with no sophistication to understand why your mother wasn't paying attention to you or why your father was raging at you all the time. You know, as children, we just make everything mean something about us. And if you look, if you start to unpack these beliefs, you see that they're very young, they're very unsophisticated. And so we wake up out of the trance and we say, well, what's really true? And then we bring that into, I have a meditation that we do where you bring in like the soul of your former partner. You have a conversation. You're in the center of your power. You clear things from the past in the ways that you were showing up that kind of replayed that story so that you had evidence again for that story. But literally, you know, we lay out this pathway of graduating out of that story.
And that process that you're
free of it.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that soul-to-soul communication is so powerful to use, I think, in various situations throughout one's lives. I've used it often with family members, an ex, a friend. It's a really powerful way to bring completion to something that feels incomplete.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
And so then moving forward with the steps that you outline.
Well, so then 4 and 5, now we're dealing with the actual person, right? The other person and how to have that amicable separation. In 4, I call it becoming a love alchemist. It's really shifting the energy between yourself and that person. And there's several ways to do it. There are forgiveness practices for oneself and for the other, but there's also clearing the air and how do we actually have a conversation where we're not like endlessly processing impossible things to solve between us, but we're just clearing the air. We're leaving each other whole and complete, which has to do with the way that you're listening with your heart and you're being touched by the other person's perspective and you're offering to make an amends moving forward if possible. Maybe with that person, maybe with, you know, I'll never do that to any other man again. Yeah, but there's a way you know, it's not about right or wrong. It's actually beyond right or wrong. It's more about leaving people whole and complete. And then there's acts of generosity to start to build the new relationship and to build goodwill into the field between you. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to choose to not be connected to their former partner anymore, and that's fine too. I'm not necessarily an advocate for friendship, particularly if, you know, really bad things went down. But you still want to be at peace. So it's like how you're going to hold that person and being generous in the way that you hold them and holding the complexity of both the good and the bad, wishing them well. Step 5, creating your happy even afterlife, is really about the structures that you're going to create moving forward that are going to set everyone up to win and how to create cohesion in your community. So that there's cohesion, there's not brokenness. Mm-hmm. You know, there's sadness because the relationship ends, because that's, we're human, we're always going to feel sad. But there's a way we're setting it all up so that it can move forward and heal in a very whole way. I liken a broken heart to a broken leg. You know, we understand that if you break your leg, you have to go and get it set in a cast. There's a way that that bone needs to be held in place and that it needs time to, you know, and attention to heal properly. That's how we have to heal our heart, too.
It is.
You know, we don't want to just let time heal our heart because it could heal crooked. It could heal a little too defensive
or
moving forward.
Or closed off.
So I think that broken leg metaphor works
so
for
wonderful.
Us. We understand what we're doing.
And Catherine, I know as well, your process really addresses what's at the core of something that happens during a breakup, where we are suddenly trying to contain a range of emotions that are contradictory, that are confusing, and we are complex human beings, yet we really struggle when all of these emotions of disappointment and loss and anger and revenge and joy and love all are popping up and arising within us at once. And this is such a way of combing through it and really looking at each aspect and bringing some cohesiveness and clarity to this process.
Thank you. That was my hope, because I know that breakups are one of the biggest traumas that any of us are ever going to go through in our lives. And conscious uncoupling is an offering that alleviates a tremendous amount of suffering. And I hear over and over and over again about how many people feel like it really saved their lives. So I'm very happy to share it with people today. And if people want to learn more about the course, they can go to consciousuncouplingcourse.com. That's the course starts on Monday. And I also, you know, want to just invite anyone to go to consciousuncoupling.com and see what offerings we have on the website.
Yes, and I do want to share with listeners, since I was on a call hearing more about your course that starts on Monday. It's 6 weeks of Monday and Wednesdays with you on its calls one evening and then an online forum another, where you're really supporting and working with people who register to work through this process and have your support and have your guidance. And so I think it's a wonderful opportunity for listeners.
Well, and we're also set up for people who can't make the calls live, because we have online component where there's interactions and people ask questions. And then we also have senior coaches who offer coaching calls during the week that are live at different times. So I'd say about half the people come live and half the people in the course come at a different time. But thank you for being specific about that.
You're welcome. So it works for, that actually makes it more inclusive, I think, that there are options to be involved.
There are options. Also, we have an option for uncoupling couples who want to come in, and we have a way of working with people that really helps them to go through the process.
Yes. Well, Catherine, I'm so grateful to have you as a part of my life. I've enjoyed getting to know you over the years and becoming more versed at your material. You know, I've worked with one of your coaches, and I've shared this with listeners. I've worked with one of your trained coaches for the last couple of years to evolve my patterns in love, because we don't come into this world with a blueprint for that. And we learn through our families. And if anyone's done any living, we have all experienced disappointment and loss and hurt that we naturally carry into our romantic relationships. And so it's been exciting to make it my business to change and clear those patterns so that I can be more available to love and being a healing practitioner. So I just thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Lisa. It's an honor to be your friend. Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
So much. Lots of love to everyone.
Yes. Bye.
Bye-bye.
That concludes my show today with Catherine Woodward Thomas, author of Conscious Uncoupling and Calling in the One. I thank you for being with us today on this 3-year anniversary show of my podcast, All Things Therapy. I look forward to bringing you more episodes over the years. Reach out with guests you're interested in having me interview, and if you're someone that you're interested in being a guest on my show, all my love.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir. Only